We're going to be in Galatians, if you want to turn your Bible, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and verse 13 this morning. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day and open His Word together. And we'll just pray that God will use His Word in our lives to speak to us and change us. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 13, please, where the Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So this morning we're going to talk about liberty. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege to be in your house, to open your word, to hear through the Holy Spirit from you. And we now come to you with expectant hearts, asking you to speak to us and change us and to meet with us and to be able to leave knowing that we have met with you today. May you be glorified in this service. We love you so much and ask all this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The good news in this passage is we have liberty in Christ. That is wonderful news. What does this mean, this liberty word? If you look up in verse 1 of the chapter, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We have been freed from bondage. We have been given liberty from the bondage of the law and from sin. Now, Galatians was primarily Paul wrote it primarily to help the people at Galatia who had been deceived by some Judaizers who came through and tried to tell them, now that you're saved, you need to keep the law. And Paul is saying to them, no, you don't have to keep the law. If you're born again, you have liberty. You have been freed from the bondage of the law. Now, this bondage we're talking about, if you go to Colossians chapter 2, the Bible explains how this works. And a lot of Christians don't understand this. The Old Testament is beautiful. It's wonderful. It is very important to us as believers in Jesus Christ. But we are not bound to keep the Old Testament law. That is a fact. And yet a lot of Christians want to put themselves back under the Old Testament law. We are bound to keep Jesus' commandments, which there are plenty. But when it comes to the Old Testament law, even the Ten Commandments, we are not bound to keep them. You say, oh, but how can we not keep the Ten Commandments? You're not keeping one of them right now. You're in church on Sunday instead of on Saturday. The Bible says we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Why aren't we doing it? Because we're not Jews. Notice Colossians 2:14, the Bible says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." The law was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. The bondage of the law, which the Jews had put themselves under for centuries, believing that the keeping of the law would get them to heaven, that is gone. And we have liberty in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8:2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We have been made free from the law. We've been given liberty from the bondage of the law. You know, we've even been given liberty from the condemnation of the law, which is ultimately to go to hell. Look at John chapter 5, if you would, and verse 24. And we should be praising God every day for the liberty that we have in Christ. That's what Paul said. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be thankful for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and the liberty that we have. Notice John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Look at the next passage. "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." Condemnation. Yes, the Bible very clearly teaches that those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are condemned already. On their way to hell, which is what we all earn through our sin. But the day that we were born again, we were freed from that condemnation, and we were freed from the bondage of the law. We have liberty in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's great news. We have been given liberty. But I'd like us to go back to our passage and better understand that liberty now this morning, because there was a movement that went through Christianity maybe 20 years ago. It's kind of still going. The movement basically says this. Well, since we have liberty, that means we can do whatever we want. And now, churches have gotten a little bit wild because they have liberty. And though we have liberty from bondage of the law, and though we have liberty from the condemnation of the law, we now have the liberty to serve Jesus Christ. We have not been given liberty to do whatever we want, because we are now bound to obey our Savior and to please Him. And so notice verse 13. He said, you've been called unto liberty, but he goes on to say, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Praise God, we've been given liberty, but Paul says that doesn't mean we've been given liberty to now obey the flesh. That will never be the case, because that is sin, and it is wrong, and it displeases our Lord. So now turn back to 1 Corinthians, just two books to the left, chapter 6. Paul explained it in a different way here, but same basic principle. 1 Corinthians 6:12, notice what he says. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Isn't that interesting? He goes on to say, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He's saying, I have liberty, but I don't have liberty to sin. I don't have liberty to obey the flesh. I have liberty to obey my Lord. Notice back one more book, Romans 13 this time. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, where the Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That word provision means don't plan ahead to please the flesh. As a matter of fact, plan ahead to not please the flesh is what God is saying. So we see, firstly, this morning, we've been given liberty from the bondage of the law. But secondly, we see we've been given liberty to obey God and not the flesh. That's still liberty. But it's liberty to obey. Go to 1 Peter this time, over to the right, a bit further toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. And again, Peter explains this same principle that about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16. The Bible says, as free. So there again, he's reminding us we are free from the bondage of the law here in 1 Peter 2:16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We are free, but don't use the freedom as an excuse to sin. Matter of fact, you know the New Testament's even referred to in James chapter 1 as the law of liberty. In James 1:25. But which the same verse tells us to be a doer of the work and not a hearer only. So we have liberty in Christ. Praise God that we have been freed from the bondage of sin, the bondage of the law. But we do not have liberty to sin. We have liberty to obey our Savior. Not only that, but go back to our passage. Number three this morning, we also have the liberty to love others. Notice Galatians 5:13 again. Brethren, you be called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We've been given the liberty to use our energy, to use the time that we have on this earth to love others. You know, we talked earlier about commandments and how the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross. But when Jesus was on the earth, he came and he said in John 13, "A new commandment I give unto you." These are the Old Testament commandments that you Pharisees think are going to get you to heaven, and they're not. And then he nailed them to the cross, but he said, "I want to give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you." John 13:34. And he goes on to say in verse 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." He says, I want you to use your life to love others. How do we do that? Well, you've heard me say it enough times, love is action, love is what we do. So God wants us to use our time and our energy to do things to bless others, which includes witnessing to the lost, by the way. That's the new commandment. And by the way, one of the most important commandments, because Jesus said, by this. He didn't say, by these. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. By this one thing. The world will see the love that you show to one another, and it will be so different from what they see in the rest of the world, they'll know you're my disciples. Jesus said it. We've been given the liberty to love. John said in 1 John 4, "Beloved, if God so loved us," 1 John 4:11, "we ought also to love one another." He said, here is the measuring stick by which you should love one another. Just measure it by God's love for us. Look at that love, understand that love, and that's the love we're to emulate. Is God's love partial? No. Is God's love conditional? No. Does God withdraw it when we make mistakes? No. He says that's the kind of love we're to have for one another. And then I want you to look at a passage of 1 Corinthians 8 where Paul breaks it down, how that our liberty, if we're not careful, we can even hurt another Christian with our liberty. How about that? By abusing our liberty. Notice 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Paul says, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Same liberty, but Paul says, be careful. If you're going to truly love one another, make sure you love one another by not hurting them with your liberty. He goes on to say, verse 10, "For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak and be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, yes, lest I make my brother to offend." Now that's love in action right there. Being careful not to use our liberty to be an offense to someone else. That's love. So we've been given the liberty to obey God, not the flesh. We've been given liberty to love, but we've also been given liberty, verse 13 of our passage. He finishes that verse 13 by saying, serve one another. We've been given the liberty to serve. So that doesn't sound like liberty. Well, it is if you understand how God made us. He made us to please Him. He made us to truly get pleasure from obeying Him. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28, where there was no vision, the people perish. But He goes on to say, but whoso keepeth the law, happy is he. God designed us that way. That true happiness comes from obedience, from pleasing our Creator. And you know how I know this is true? Because He said so. And since He made us, I guess He knows what makes us happy. And God says it makes us happy to please Him. And part of that is serving others. That's what Christianity is all about. We've been given the liberty, notice it says Galatians 5:13, to serve who? One another. Not self. One another. Jesus said in Matthew 20:27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. When Jesus took his disciples into that upper room and they had that, what people refer to as the Last Supper, or we can call it the First Lord's Supper, together there in that upper room, and he spent that time encouraging his disciples, telling him he was coming back, telling them what was going to happen, telling them that he would pray for them, and so forth. In that time, before he started all that teaching, the first thing he did was wash their feet. Before any teaching, from the mouth, through his actions, he said, let me teach you something. And he girded a towel. This is the creator of the universe, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, girded a towel and got down on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet. And when he was finished, he said in John 13:14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, he said, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. And he went on to say, I want you to follow my example. What's the example? I want you to serve one another. I've left you here to serve. To serve one another. Paul explained it differently in 1 Corinthians 9, if you want to turn over there, please. Again, we've been given liberty from bondage, praise God. Bondage of the law, bondage of sin. We've been given the liberty to obey God. We've been given the liberty to love others. And we have been given the liberty to serve others. Notice 1 Corinthians 9:19. Paul says, for though I be free from all men, so there it is again, I'm free, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. It says, I'm free. I'm free from the bondage of sin. I'm free. I'm going to heaven, and my behavior can't change that. Now, I'm going to serve others. I've been given the freedom to serve that I might gain the more. Look over in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful for me. Again, talking about liberty. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Edify, that has to do with others. Helping others, lifting up others, encouraging others. He says, though I have liberty, I am here to be a blessing to others, to love them, and to serve them. We have been given the liberty in Jesus Christ to serve God and to love others and to serve others. Aren't we blessed to have that kind of liberty? He goes on to describe it as one commandment. Verse 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Galatians 5:14, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says you can wrap the entire interpersonal law, if you will, up in that one statement. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You mean we tend to love ourselves? Yeah, that's a serious problem. It's called selfishness. Maybe you've heard of it. We've had it since we were born. And if you've had children, you know it's pretty real. We're self-centered and we're selfish. So we have no problems loving ourselves. And God says we're to love others that much. In other words, put self aside. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice self. Put others first. That's what he's telling us. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible goes on to say, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification in Romans 15:2. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. This comes as a shock to a lot of Christians, but we're here for others. That's why God left us behind. We're not here for self. If we were only here for self, then what's the point of leaving us behind? Why not just take us to heaven when we get saved? We're going there anyway. And what's another 20, 30, 40, 50 years compared to eternity with Jesus? Why leave us here? To fight with the devil, to fight with sin, to fight with the world, to fight with the flesh. Why? Why go through all of that? Others. That's why. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the liberty to love them. We have the liberty to serve them. And the lost, we have the liberty to tell them, which is an act of love, by the way, the good news of Jesus Christ. So praise God for the liberty that we have in Christ, and that we've been given liberty now from the bondage of sin so that we might obey our God by living our lives to love and serve others. How blessed we truly are to have liberty in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.